The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
Hi, I'm Derek Story with O'Reilly Media, and I'm here with Rich Connolly, Director of Olympic Operations and WW Events. And we're here in Beijing right now, Rich. Why don't you tell us a little bit about exactly where we are and how it's set up?
Well, we're in the Bokeh Kodak Photo Media Services area, and it's set up in a very unique way. In fact, the first time in Olympic history that we've combined Bokeh Photo Services and Kodak Sponsor Services to provide comprehensive one-stop shop for photographers to service all their needs, so that really it gives them more time to do their job and we can get some awesome pictures and they spend less time at their desktop.
And when you say one-stop, you are absolutely right about that. Why don't you just let people know just a little laundry list of the stuff that happens, I mean, what we have here for photographers when they come in from the venues?
Well, first of all, photographers would come in at the start of the games and they would register and get their photo bibs from us. And in doing so, they also simultaneously register for services with Canon, Nikon, SanDisk, and Lexar. And by doing that, we're taking care of the lenses, the bodies, the technical support in terms of lighting that Kodak provides, and Lexar and SanDisk for the media cards that they shoot with. So if there's any problem from top to bottom, they really have one resource to come to and one place to come to. We've also incorporated some venue access for our partners in our space, so that if someone is really in dire emergency, they get access to services right in venue.
And then on top of that, I mean, that's to help them get the shot. And then when they're ready for post-production, we can take care of them here too.
Absolutely. We've got photo books. Every accredited photographer will get a photo book of their own work that they can compile in InDesign, which is a Kodak software, through the Kodak NexPress. And it's a digital press, so they can drop in anything they want, customize it in any form they want. Also, they can have digital proofs, thermal prints on a daily basis to check their work and composition, as well as access to our 3 terabyte server, so they all have a little slice of heaven there to be able to store images, and either they can be sent to their enterprise operations or go to DVD.
And then in terms of the computers, we have set up Macs, we have PCs, and then we have open stations where they can bring their own stuff. So just about any way they want to work, we can pretty much accommodate them.
You're absolutely correct. I don't think there's any aspect of the photographer workflow that we haven't thought of in this case. And having done Olympics for, this is my 12th Olympic, I would say we finally got it right.
Well, it's a terrific setup. This is my first Olympic, so I'm just thinking, wow, this is really something here. I'm very impressed with the whole operation. Now, the thing that I wanted to ask you about, and one of my favorite parts of, you know, the first week that I've been here, is the picture of the day. The picture of the day is, I think it's a very special thing. So I thought we could start out first by, you know, you kind of telling us the thinking behind the picture of the day, and then maybe we could talk, you know, take them behind the scenes and talk a little bit about how that picture actually gets selected.
Sure. We started the picture of the day really more of an opening and closing ceremonies official picture back in Calgary, and I'm dating myself here, but and then eventually it's grown into image submission by photographers, and then in some cases in past games working with specific agencies, as we have done here in working with Getty in Beijing. It's really grown into a fantastic showcase for photographers, as this image is not just resident within Beijing and the games, but it's on a number of websites, billboard at Times Square, above the Marriott Marquis, so certainly there's some notoriety involved in getting your photograph to be the Kodak picture of the day.
And not only is it beautiful to look at, I mean, everyone is just gorgeous to look at, but I think one of the things that you guys have done well is it's sort of the picture that kind of encapsulates that day at the Olympics. It's either opening ceremonies, if it's opening ceremony day, or one of the venues. But it's something where you just look at one picture and you sort of have a feel for what happened that day at the Olympics.
Well, we're certainly not a sports daily, So we're not looking to capture the finish line. We're more looking for the symmetry, the artistry and beauty of sport, and the Olympic feeling, trying to encapsulate a little, you know, Beijing logo in there, but really focusing more on a beautiful picture as opposed to a sport image, a true, you know, sports daily image, if you will.
And I think that's one of the things that I like about it. It is a beautiful photograph unto itself, and it's from here, you know, so it has both. So how does this happen? I mean, you know, let's just kind of take it from start to finish. Do photographers submit these photos, you know, and then if they do, then what happens after that?
In the past, we've had open submissions, and we'll start at the beginning of the day and wait till the last sport. And it used to be certainly take a little longer when it was more of a film-based industry. Digital has speeded it up in some respects, although now you have to edit quite a bit more. So that's one of the drawbacks. But my background in professional photography, I've worked in Kodak professional photography for almost 30 years. And I've done a lot of other photo contest judging, if you will. And certainly over the years, you can imagine a lot of editing. Been involved with Kodak books, A Day in the Life of China, A Day in the Life of this and that. So I looked at a lot of images, and certainly I get help from my team if I'm ever, you know, torn between a couple of images. There's a great number of technical staff on board and people with good eyes. So although the final selection is mine, I certainly welcome taking some of the pressure off in terms of having other people say, well, what do you think of this image versus this image? And some of the folks that are working behind the scenes keep me honest in terms of, you know, checking for sharpness and printing it out and making sure that we can get a large file size. So there's a lot of aspects to it that either help or hurt what could be the picture of the day. But in fact, in some cases, we picked a picture, but we just can't get enough image data out of it to make it worthwhile in terms of post-production use.
Yeah, it's got to print because, I mean, you know, the way that I see it working here is, you know, I see it as on the wall as a print, and you know, which is my favorite way still to look at photography. I'm lucky I get to see it here, and you know, not on a website would be great, but a nice big print's even better. So about how many images are you looking at on average, you know, as you're trying to figure out which shot to use?
Well, just as an example, last night's image, which became the picture of the day of swimming, we looked at 2,080 images to pick that one. And we looked at a lot more, but, I, you know, in terms of looking, I mean stopping and opening it up to a larger viewing format. We look at a lot of images and can tell that it's not structured or interesting in the way that we want it to be. I mean, certainly there are a lot of great shots, but they're more geared for newspaper dailies than for our purposes.
Yeah, because you're not sports daily, kind of more artistic, more aesthetic, and then, of course, you know, the topic. How do you manage to look at over 2,000 photos without getting blurry-eyed? What kind of tools are you using for that?
Well, we have some very big Apple Cine monitors that help because we look at a lot of images at one time. So that certainly helps, and I've got a lot of people here with Adobe Photoshop and Aperture experience. So, and I'm not as experienced at that end, although I have a good eye. There's a lot of people that can work the images through the computer faster than myself, so I certainly take advantage of my team in that respect.
So it sounds like then, and this would make perfect sense to me, that you would probably load everything up into Aperture, and then that way you can browse through the shots really quickly, zoom in on them, zoom out, and use the 30-inch displays while you're doing that.
Absolutely, and there's a focusing tool, or the loop. Yeah, I can tell you that loop is a godsend for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, the loop is terrific because, and you know, even if you're trying to compare as a photographer, when you're trying to sort your stuff, you got two or three shots, maybe only, you know, just fractions of a second apart, and you're trying to figure out which one is the sharpest. You can just like line them all up, and then set the loop up and just have it focus on wherever you put the mouse, and then right away you can figure out the sharpest shot. And when you're trying to go through a whole bunch of photographs, that tool is very, very nice.
Well, it's certainly, that's the difference really in the digital world of today. You have to look at a lot more images and it takes up a lot more time and of one single shot. And previously, from a film-based industry, you didn't have to look at as many images. So here you've got some advantage. It's many frames, but as you said, you have to look at each one closely and utilize the tools at your fingertips to make sure you make the right selection.
So generally speaking, after you make your selection or you narrow it down, then using these tools, are you usually pretty confident that what's going to come out of the printer is pretty much what you're looking at on the screen? Have you had a lot of surprises? How's that last stage of the workflow been going?
No, generally we've been doing this long enough that the folks that we bring are seasoned veterans at doing Olympic events and assisting in the editing process. And I've, as I mentioned before, looked at a lot of images. So once we get to that stage, we don't necessarily trust what's on the screen versus the final output image, because something looks really great on a television screen doesn't necessarily print out the same. And certainly depending on the photographic medium that you're printing on, whether it be inkjet or photographic paper, you need different file sizes, you know, 80 meg versus, you know, a 200 to 400 DPI for a photographic grade paper. So that kind of limits you in the size you can go. So you have to be very careful in terms of the image size and quality and make sure that it's well worked through the system in terms of taking it from and putting it in Photoshop and changing it to a TIFF file and going from there.
So the last stage, I mean, you know, it doesn't get the thumbs up until it passes muster as a print.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, if it were just, say, for web-based imaging, I think we, you know, obviously it could open up the gate a little further. But a lot of what we do is print-based from a Kodak standpoint. We do posters of the day, postcards of the day. So we have to make sure that we're quite sure that the image will hold up in all formats.
Yeah. By the way, you know, you mentioned about the photographers. The one thing, another thing I've observed, as I've walked around and, you know, trying to help photographers when they need help, is I am looking at some absolutely great imagery. I mean, there is a terrific crew of photographers working this event.
I'm very pleased with the level of photography that I've seen just walking around the 200 workstations we have here at the MPC. I'm taken aback sometimes doing double takes, and I think for people like yourself and myself who have been in the photo industry for some time, I think, you know, it's rather special to when you make someone who's seen a lot of images do a double take.
No kidding, and also somewhat humbling at times.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much. I mean, just fascinating. I just me personally, I'm really happy to kind of learn how that happens. And I'll just tell you that I enjoy the picture of the day a lot, and I'm sure a lot of other people do. And thanks for the great job that you guys have done, not only with that, but setting up this whole operation. It is complex, and it is running like clockwork.
Well, we're certainly glad it is, and we're certainly here to support the photographers. And I think at the end result, when they do the analysis of how this facility was set up and run, I think both Kodak and Voca can be very proud of the cooperative effort that has come into play here.
Rich Connolly with Kodak. Thank you so much, Rich.
Thank you.
The Inside Aperture podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aperture, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time.